Well, good morning.
Morning.
Okay. I was checking to see if I was on. It's so good to see all of you, and we want to welcome you today on this 11th Sunday after Pentecost. And this is our back to school blessing, and we'll be doing that a little bit later on. But we are so glad that you're with us today and being a part of worship where we can gather together and experience God's grace and presence today. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about or asking that question, how do we make a difference? And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that and how that is for our lives and also for our young people's lives, and how God can use us in a variety of way. We don't have to be adults. God can use us even as young people. So let's prepare our hearts by standing this morning and joining in singing our Gloria Patria. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the as it was in the beginning, it's now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Well, let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. With great rejoicing, we come to God's house. God's power and love flow through this place.
We place our trust in Christ's touch for us.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
We celebrate God's presence here in this place.
Well, let's join together there and sing an old one. There's Power in the Blood, 251 in your hymn books. Or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We're singing all four verses this morning.
From the burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, yes, brighter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Let's sing the refrain again. There is power, power, power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
And we are grateful for all that Jesus did for us in giving his life. Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin this morning. Mighty God, whose power and mercy extend to all creation, pour out your love on us this day, that we might be healed and made ready to serve you by serving others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Flip that anyways. And I'm going to invite our kids to come on down this morning. Everybody's looking so good today. Wow. Well, you can stay right back there. She said she goes, I'm not feeling that great today. Yeah, I know. Some of you were out in the fair all week or over several days. Yes, it was dusty and dry. But you know what? It was nice weather, though, wasn't it? Yeah. Now, all the kids did so well this year, but one of them did really well, and that's Katie right here, who had grand champion chickens at the Miami County Fair. Yeah, she got to sell the chickens. Yeah, and a lot of our kids did well, showing pigs and lambs and goats, and I think there was chickens. We had a group of ladies, a family that put together a bunch of quilts and had those on display, and others that did. Yes, it was just a wonderful time at the fair. Yes. Oh, you did? No, you did. You got the whole one? And then had to put it back in your cage? Wow. So are you ready for school? What? Oh, did he do the chicken scramble? Oh, and you caught one? Wow, he must be fast. I was going to say, those chickens and those piggies are the fast ones. Okay. Yes. So are you ready to go back to school? Are you?
I'll see my friend Taylor.
You know what? When I was talking to a few of the kids out at the fair this week, they were like, yeah, I want to see my friends. I don't know if I want to do all the work, but yeah. And that's pretty common, isn't it? Yeah. So I want to talk to you about something. So do you like to receive gifts?
Yeah.
Like at your birthday?
Yeah.
Or at Christmas?
Yeah.
Do you know I had somebody downstairs earlier tell me she was already going out to buy Christmas presents for her fans. And I'm like, wow, that's early. Yeah, I haven't even begun to think about that. But I knew what she was going to get. She told me what she was getting and why she was getting them early. And I understood what was going on. But yeah, we all like to receive gifts, especially when we're kids. I remember when I was a kid, I loved getting gifts. Now, as I got older, I started to love giving gifts instead of receiving them. And probably when I got about 40, a little older, I'm not afraid to admit that. Yeah, I still liked receiving gifts, but it was something. I don't know how to explain it. Something just changed. And I had more fun. Even though Jody's family asked for ideas for Christmas, I'm like, I don't know, just give me a gift card, you know, kind of a thing. And, but I like to give gifts out. And it made me think about God and how God loves to give gifts out. And God gives us gifts in a lot of different ways. God gives us love. God gives us grace.
God gives us strength when we feel like we can't do something. We kind of feel it weak. You know, when we're younger, we still don't have that full strength yet because we haven't fully grown up yet. So we ask our parents for help. We ask our grandparents or maybe a brother, you know, or a sister for help. But God gives us all kinds of gifts, but He also gives us other gifts. Some of those gifts you received when you were born. And they're in you right now. And you don't know what they are exactly yet. But as you grow up, you'll begin to kind of figure out what some of those gifts are. And a lot of times, those gifts are what you like to do. So let's say maybe you start to grow up and you just like to help people. Or if you see somebody hurting or fall and gets hurt, you want to help them and make them feel better. And then when you get to be a senior in high school or a junior or whatever it is, you decide, I'm going to be a nurse. I'm going to be a doctor. In other words, you're going to continue to help people that are hurting. Or a lot of other areas, yes. And that's what I'm talking about, some of those gifts that God puts within us. And each of us are special. And one of the things I'm going to tell the adults after a while is that God has gifted each of us in a unique way. There's only one of you. There's only one of you. There's only one of you. Your personality, your looks, your abilities, your talents, what you like to do, they're all there, and nobody else is quite like you. You may have friends that say, hey, I'm going to be a nurse or a doctor too, or a vet. Maybe you have a real heart for animals, or a vet tech. But there's still something different about you. Each of you is unique. And we use those gifts that God gives us to make a difference in people's lives and in our world. Okay? So remember, you might say, well, I don't really like the way I look. Or I don't like the color of my hair. Or I wish I was tall. Or I wish I had blonde hair. Or I wish I had blue eyes. Or I wish I could sing. Or I wish I could play the guitar. Or I wish I was good. See, you may have not started that, but as you start to get older, you'll start to think that way once in a while. But you know what? I'm going to let you know that you are special and unique just the way you are right now and will continue to be because God gifted you and made you the way you are so you can do what God has gifted you to do. Okay? All right. You guys can head on down this morning.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Wait a minute. I almost forgot. Somebody's got to holler at me because I'm only doing it. Come on back up this way. And we're going to invite our older kids to come on up. And our teachers, staff, support. We want to remember our college kids. As I was talking to a few of them at the fair over the weekend, they were already leaving by the end or close to the end of the fair to head out to go to college. And so we want all of them to come on up. And I think we're missing maybe a couple of them today. I think one of our teachers that's not here today. And they've already started because she's over at Huber. I think they already started and a few of the other schools started. So we're going to ask you all to turn and look out at them. So turn and look out at them. There we go. And now I'm going to ask all of our adults that are looking at them to extend your hand out towards them if you would like to do that this morning. And we're going to pray God's blessing over them and God's protection and all of that. Lord, we thank you for all of our kids that are here today. And we thank you for our teachers and staff people and aides and our workers in so many of the areas. And God, we just ask your blessing over each and every one of them today. Lord, let them, the creativity of their minds and the emotions of their heart and spirit, to be alive and well during the school year, that they can do well in their schoolwork, even sometimes when they struggle with certain subjects. Help them this new school year, we pray. And we ask that you would help them to be the kind friend that's a help and a light to others, to show them God's love. But we also, Lord, pray that you'll watch over them and keep them all safe through this school year, and that your guardian angels will be with them, watching over them, and all of our students this year, as we lift up Huber and Miami East and Troy and the different places where some of our kids go to. God, we and our teachers are at. We just ask that you'll watch over all of them and protect them and give them a wonderful school year and keep them safe, we pray, as we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
All right. We're going to go ahead now. You, the younger kids, can go on down. And just by the way, for some of our, few of our older kids, starting on that September 11th that I had mentioned, as kind of our date where we'll start some things back after the, are for grades 6 through 12, Miss Kathy is going to be doing a youth Bible study with them, and you'll come in here for the service, and then when the kids are done up here and I release the kids, then our young people, our youth, can go downstairs and have a lesson for them. Geared towards their where they're at and everything. So I just want to let you know about that, kind of a quick other thing. Well, we want to go to our time of prayer, and maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning, and so we want to give you an opportunity to do that real quick here this morning. So someone this morning, yeah. I can imagine. That's going to be a while, yeah. Yeah.
Just keep her in your prayers.
We will do that. And Tim. And we appreciate so much. When they first started coming, and as soon as Jim opened his mouth and said something to me, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get along with this guy great.
because he kidded me right away. And, you know, and so we can do that back and forth. But keep, you know, not only Kay, but we've had Jim's name on there too, because he's the caregiver right now with some other help that they have coming in. And that's a hard job, because I remember when my dad did that for my mom for 9 months after she had her major stroke. And thank you. I'm going to say this, but thank you to some of you that's been taking food over to them. And I know they appreciate that and all of that. And he said, my goal is to get her with that walker so she can start walking with the walker again. And then I think she wants to be able to come back and be with us too. So, and but yeah, so we want to continue. Remember, and Jim and Kay in our prayers. Someone else. Yeah.
Barney burned his factory, so he needs prayer, but Priscilla has not been able to get her arthritis medication now for 6 weeks, and she's trying to find somebody to help her. And then at the fair, Sean Pigs with Landon, 80 years old, and Thursday they diagnosed him with juvenile diabetes and blood sugar. They're getting it down, and he may get to come home today, but they're not sure.
What was his first name again?
Landon.
Landon? Okay. Okay. Yeah. So we want to remember Barney. I had him down that we needed to pray for him, but I did not know about Priscilla, so thank you. I'm praying that God will speedily work that out with getting her medication. And then for Landon this morning, we want to remember him. Someone else. I saw a couple other hands. Yes. What's that?
Unspoken.
Thank you. Unspoken. Okay. I thought I saw another hand. Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that with the pressure and everything. Yeah, yeah. So we want to remember Michael this morning. So another hand, yes.
And I pray for my oldest brother. He fell. He's in ICU right now. He does have pneumonia and AFib, and he just needs
a lot. What is his first name?
Dale.
Okay, so we want to remember Dale in our prayers and asking for God's touch upon him. Somebody else, yes. Okay. Yeah, I can understand that. Yes. I can understand that. So, anybody else? Yeah.
Keep praying for Sarah. The insurance denied her MRI. And she's having a lot of trouble trying to work. She uses her hands every day.
Yes. Yes. I can't believe. Yeah. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. I do believe that they would deny that. Yeah. Yeah, so we want to remember Dex, and we want to remember Sarah, asking God's healing touch for her hands. Anybody else today? Anyone else?
I'd like to ask for prayers. Well, I'm going to cry. I'm sorry. I had a very bad week last week, and I have three children who went missing, and we found them. And the little boy said to me, it's hard to be happy when you're in this much pain. And they are being abused, and the court is working to get them out of there within the next couple of days. But I really, they're going to need a lot of prayers. They're going to go to foster care now, but they need prayers.
Yeah, definitely. And so we want to remember these CASA children. We'll just kind of leave it like that, and God knows who they are and the situation there. Someone else, anybody else this morning? Anybody else? I want to do something. This came to my mind this morning. I know she's been battling this for a while, and I just felt like I was supposed to anoint her and pray with her today. And well, that's good, but I wanted to follow through, and we want to pray.
trouble with her ears and being able to hear clearly and everything, kind of post-COVID kind of a situation there. And maybe a few of you, when I begin to pray, if you would just maybe lay a hand on her. And as we lift her up, it was real funny. I think I was driving out here listening to music, and you came to my mind immediately, and it just is like it said, anoint her. And so that's what I wanted to do this morning. And we have the different needs, and we'll give you a chance to pray as she plays. Then I'll come and open. I'll pray for Bev right away, and then some of you can lay your hands on her. And is there another one?
Do you want to update them on my sister?
Yes, go ahead and update her on the others, yes.
My sister came home Monday. She is doing incredibly well considering what her body has been through. She has a follow-up with the surgeon tomorrow, so we'll know a little bit more about her prognosis and what needs to happen next. So thank you for the prayers, and she will continue to need them as she heals and begins whatever.
Yes, yeah. Yes, because I think she may be getting a scan here in a few weeks, and they'll be doing some tests, and so we want to keep her in our prayers. Her name's Jill. She's on our list there. Jody, can you help me out? I put his name in, Asher Scarpella, which is our junior high computer teacher's son. Do you remember what it was exactly? Yes, some seizures, something like that, yeah. And they need our prayer, and I'd appreciate, as soon as I heard, I had been working on the calendar, on the bulletin, when I saw it on Facebook, and I immediately typed his name in. We need to lift up Asher this morning. Also, to give you a little thing, you might have seen Linda Wilson's name on there. Linda had gone in for the normal scan that a lot of women get done every year, and they found a spot on her. And so in September, she is going to be having surgery. And then after that, she may be having a few rounds. I'm not sure exactly how many yet of radiation. And so we want to keep Linda in our prayers this morning. And in fact, I'm going to anoint her too. Now, I know sometimes they don't want us to need to always do that or call attention, but when I feel compelled to, I want to be able to do that. And so maybe some of you around her also. And Greg this morning, he's doing much better, isn't he? Are you doing much better? Good, yes. And we want to continue praying for him for strength, and we have him on the list there. And then for Ellie, God bless her. I mean, she's just got to hang on there, and I don't know how she's doing it until they are able to try to do that block in on her nerve. We just need to continue to remember Ellie in our prayers today also. Oh, yes, thank you, yes. And for Mary Sue, I don't know if they ever found out anything exactly, did they?
Well, I understand they think she had a seizure.
Yeah.
And then the MRI showed a spot on her brain.
Okay.
So she probably may not be done with seizure.
Okay. So that's new. I did not know about the spot. No, I had been at the hospital, but they hadn't done the MRI yet. They were doing it the next day, and then I never heard any update from the family. So, yeah. Okay. So we definitely thank you for mentioning her and appreciate that. So we want to remember her, and the same thing going on there with the seizure. And lots to pray for. So we want to get to prayer, and so we'll give you a chance, and then I'm going to lift up those that have been mentioned first and then the rest.
Lord, as we just pause today, we thank you that you have given us instructions through the letter of James that when people are sick, that we can call and have them be anointed and pray the prayer of faith. So we want to lift up those that we have anointed today. And Lord, we just lift up Bev to you today, Lord, that you would just open her ears today, God. Whatever is causing all of this, whatever is happening there, we just ask that you would extend your healing touch. We ask that you would send your word today and open her ears and so that she can hear normally again and give her peace as we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray for Linda today. God, we ask about that spot, Lord, that your hand would be extended to her right now as we lift her up. And we just ask that you would send your word and minister to her and make her whole today. And Lord, we lift up the others, so many that we have been praying for, God. We lift up Asher today, Lord. We lift up Jill. We lift up Greg, Lord. We lift up Ellie today. All of our, and Barney today, and Bonnie today. And God, we just lift up each of them in our own family of faith, and Mary today, God. We just ask for your healing touch and grace to be extended. We ask that you would send your word and minister to them and make them whole and give them peace and faith and confidence once again. Lord, we lift up others that have been mentioned, Lord, there. Lord, we lift up Priscilla, who's having the issues with this with the medicine, God, that you would work that out. We continue to lift up Jim and Kay, that you would bring healing and strength to Kay, and Lord, strength for Jim as he's trying to care for her, and wisdom, Lord, in all of that. We thank you for that. We lift up Landon, Lord, with this off-the-wall sugar. Thank you that they're being able to get that right, but we just pray for your touch there. We lift up Mike and Dale, who both experienced these falls, Lord, and repercussions from that. We just ask for your touch and your healing grace and your strength for them. We lift up Sarah today, Lord, for her hands, God. We ask that you would send your word and, Lord, minister and bring healing to her today. And Lord, we lift up these CASA children, Lord. We're thankful that they are working to get them out of that abusive environment into a safe place. We ask that your grace would be extended there. We pray for Dex, Lord, that you will just give him strength and wisdom in the midst of all of that. And what's going on, we lift up this unspoken need today, God, that you would minister as only you can do there, because you know what that is. And Lord, we thank you for all of these things, and that you are our great physician, the one that we can turn to when there just seems to be no other way. And God, we're thankful and grateful today for what you're going to do. We ask your blessing upon the rest of our service, Lord, as we break the bread of your word. May you feed us and fill us and send us forth with strength and faith and hope to be a blessing to others. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Thank you for joining us in praying, and those of you that did some hands-on laying there, we appreciate that this morning. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving, And that's an act of worship and faith as we are thankful and grateful for all God's blessings and how God wants to use us to be a blessing in turn. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there in our bulletin for our prayer of dedication. Oh God, we thank you for your great generosity. All that we are and all that we have is a gift from you. Accept these offerings and grant that they may prosper under your guidance. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going off the lectionary today. I kind of felt to go in this direction. And so we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verses 8 through 11 this morning. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay, and serve each other according to the gift each person has received as good managers of God's diverse gifts. Whoever speaks should do so as those who speak God's word. Whoever serves should do so from the strength that God furnishes. Do this so that in everything God may be honored through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory or to whom be honor and power forever and always. Amen. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word to our hearts and minds today, and that the Spirit would help us to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, there was a young lady, ever since she was a child, she always had this innate fear of someone hiding under her bed. So she went to a counselor and she told him, she goes, I got problems. Every time I go to bed, I think there's somebody under it. And she goes, I'm really scared. I think I'm going crazy. Just put yourself in my hands for 1 year, said the counselor. Come talk to me 3 times a week and we should be able to get rid of those fears. How much do you charge? The young lady said. $80 per visit, replied the doctor. She said, well, I'll sleep on it. 6 months later, the doctor met her on the street. Why didn't you come and see me about those fears that you were having? He asked. Well, $80 per visit, 3 times a week for a year? That's an awful lot of money. She went on to say, in fact, a bartender cured me for $10. She goes, I was so happy to have saved all that money that I went out and bought a new pickup. Is that so? Said the counselor with a bit of an attitude. And how, may I ask, did the bartender cure you? She replied, he told me to cut the legs off my bed, and there, I can tell you, there ain't anybody under my bed now. Gifted for a reason this morning. Gifted for a reason. I don't know if you have ever seen the 1995 movie entitled Mr. Holland's Opus. I remember the first time I watched that, I was mesmerized by that movie. And by the end, and the message at the end just blew me. An older actor, Richard Dreyfuss, played Mr. Holland. Mr. Holland, Glenn Holland, who graduated with a graduate degree in music and composition, and his entire life, he wanted to compose one of the most beautiful symphonies that he could have ever composed and just make a difference in people's lives. He got married. They had a son. And his son was born deaf. Well, guess what? Writing and trying to compose music was not paying the bills. So Mr. Holland got a job at a high school teaching music, band and choir, and all of that. Like many of us, Mr. Holland thought that what he was doing as a teacher when he began wasn't making any difference. It wasn't till just before his retirement, after 30 years of teaching, he finally realized, and I'm getting emotional because I can remember the end of the movie, he finally finished his piece of work, music. And not only the band at the school, but previous band members from 30 years past came together and played a piece at his retirement party at the school. And when he saw all of those kids that he had worked with, and you got to watch the movie to see the frustration and everything that he went through trying to teach those kids. There, one of his clarinet players who couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, and he worked with her after school all the time so she could play, she became the governor of the state where his school was at. And it was all about what he had done. He was trying to make an impact through his music, and he ended up making an impact by teaching those kids. Gifts that he did not fully realize he had. And I wonder sometimes how many of us want to try to make a difference in other people's lives, but we're just not sure how. Or maybe we just don't understand what God is trying to do. And sometimes we feel confused about that and frustrated. And we're like, God, I don't know if I'm making a difference in people's lives or my kids' lives or my grandkids' lives or not. Our scripture reading today helps us to understand how we can make a difference. So if you happen to have the sermon outline, we're going to go real quick here through two things I want us to see. First of all, let's talk a little bit about guidelines for making a difference. The writer here in 1 Peter gives us three things real quick I want us to look at that gives us some guidelines in whatever we do. Whatever areas in life that we do it in, even if we're retired and enjoying retirement now, but still we can make a difference. And so these three areas, I think, are very important for us today, not only as a community of faith, but even outside of our community of faith in people we meet. First of all, we love others. More than anything else, Peter tells us, we make a difference by loving others. By staying loyal and committed and helping and making a difference. And in a sense, love in biblical terms is not so much in an emotional attachment like we present, oh, I'm just so much in love with him. He's so dreamy, you know, that kind of a thing. But love is more of a holding on to and not letting go. Kind of a thing. I remember back when the kids, during vacation Bible school, when the kids were out here and some of the youth and teenagers were out here and they always want to play Red Rover, Red Rover, which, you know, you don't play in school anymore. When I was growing up, we always played that. And the boys, I'm going to brag here a little bit, us boys could not wait to break through the arms when girls were holding their hands together because we were like, yeah, we can get through. And then once in a while, we found out that those girls could really hang on and we couldn't get through. It's like playing Red Rover when you lock your hands and not let go. That's what the community of faith and extending our love beyond. You know, sometimes God may ask us to love somebody out there. That we really don't know. There maybe something's messed up in their life. They're hurting. They're acting out. And they just need somebody to love them and hang on to them and not let go to make a difference in their life, like Mr. Holland did with so many of those students. Why? I like what this says here. Love covers a multitude of sins. Sometimes we don't want to love somebody because of something we see in them that we don't like. But God's love goes beyond that, covers that, and God loves us anyways. And so we've experienced that in our lives, and sometimes God asks us to look over other people's faults. To look over other people's failures. You know, I think back to a long time ago in that movie from the 1970s called The Cross and the Switchblade. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's about the life of Dave Wilkerson, where God called him to go to inner city New York and deal with those gang members. And they defiled him and spit on him and mocked him and wanted to kill him. And yet he loved one of them. And that was Nicky Cruz, the leader of the gang. And when he gave his heart to the Lord, a whole bunch of the others did too. And Nicky Cruz to this day still preaches and ministers. So we love others. Another one is we welcome others. Those of you that have the gift of hospitality, I mean, you'll invite people over, you'll make and cook and serve, and you just love doing that, and it brings joy to your heart. Peter says that second way we make a difference is by showing hospitality to others. Peter is reminding them of their sacred duty of hospitality, which was known throughout the ancient times. Sheltering people, clothing them, providing food. And if you brought them into your home, not only did you do those things, but you also protected them when they were under your care. It's interesting that, and I was thinking about this, if others outside of our faith, in other words, that are not Christians, maybe they don't have any faith at all, show hospitality and love and kindness to others, and we don't, what does that say about our faith? I was really thinking about that this week, and it was kind of striking home with me. And then the third thing there is we serve others. We serve us. So the third way we make a difference is by ministering to others and serving them according to our giftings, as Peter says there. Now, it's interesting that the Greek word for to serve there is the same word that we get our word deacon and deaconess from. That's what being a deacon and deaconess is all about, is serving others. And normally, a household would have a manager or a steward that would manage everything going on in that household for the owner and his family. And First Peter reminds us that when we use our gifts, as I was talking to the kids about, when we use our gifts and be a blessing to others, we all of a sudden become that steward or manager that oversees God's giftings, because part of those giftings are in us. And when we use them and be a blessing to others, that's the way we kind of help be a blessing in God's house and then even outside the doors. Now, why is that? Why is that so important? Well, the obvious thing is because of this. We have been gifted for making a difference. We have. God has endowed each of us, as I was sharing with the kids, in unique ways. We have character traits, personalities, talents, interests, abilities that are given so we may fulfill our purpose. Now, I know sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, well, if I just had a better personality, or man, I wish I was just different, or I look different, or I wish I could do this as I was sharing with the kids, or do that. But we have been given what we have been given, all that we've been given, for a purpose and a reason so that we can fulfill what God wants us to do in life and make a difference. And that's what it really boils down to. And I want to say one more thing, because I think sometimes having gifts to serve and be a blessing is not enough. We need the power to be able to do that. And that brings me to my last one. God not only gifts us, but God then empowers us to walk in our giftedness. Okay, there are some people that's never stepped faith or stepped foot in a church. They profess no faith, yet they're very successful in life and have a lot of abilities and talents and wisdom and all these kind of things to do in life. And I understand that, as I think that's because God had gifted them from when they were born, just like God does that for all of us. But there's something about God personally empowering us to make a difference. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been at your home and all of a sudden, all the power goes out? And if you've ever had it happen at night, you know, it's even a different story. Now, there's been times when we've been asleep and didn't know it till we woke up in the morning. But sometimes during those hot summer days and the power goes out, I mean, computers, air conditioners, everything just stop. All those things that make life a little more easy for us, because there's no power to use them. And here's the thing I want you to see. Without our connection to God, we're gifted, but we don't fully operate in our giftedness in the way God fully wants us to be able to do that, to make a difference. And so God empowers us, those giftings, gives us confidence, gives us strength, gives us grace, all these things that go along with our giftedness so we can continue on to be all that God wants us to be. Now, raises an interesting question as I close out here is, well, if it's our connection with God, that empowers our giftings, then in what ways can we cultivate our connection with God? And these are not surprising at all. Spending time with God, praying, talking to God, praying, praising, reading scripture, gathering together on Sundays for worship, walking and being with other Christians and doing things together for God, all of these things. And you know what? We can even connect with God out on the farm while we're driving the tractor or working in our job or out when we're taking a walk or going for a hike or whatever. There's just constant ways. And God empowers us through all of that. And as we connect with God, then we can use our gifts in ways that sometimes even will surprise us in what we do. And sometimes it's nice to get recognition and know we're making a difference early on, but sometimes it's not till the end of the 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 year journey, like Mr. Holland, that we realize and had no idea how much of an impact we had on others. We have been gifted for a reason. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to go ahead, and since we're a little over this morning, we're going to go ahead and, well, we're just about there anyways. We're going to go ahead and close out this morning. So I'm going to invite you to stand. I'll have to get Carla on the organ here real quick. And we're going to go ahead and close out with our hymn there, or chorus it really is. But if you remember that one Christmas hymn, you'll know at least the tune of it. Number 69 in the hymn book, or we'll sing it there on the PowerPoint. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Let's sing it this morning. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Join together there for our benediction. Today, God has healed and restored us. Go in peace and confidence, ready to always serve as God's people in all places and times. Amen. Amen.